holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till He appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voice. By His cradle we stand. So led by light of the stars so sweetly gleaming, here came the wise men from Orient land. The King of Kings, the slain lowly manger, in all our trials born to be our friend. He knows our need, our weaknesses, no strength.
Right? That's good stuff. Thank you, Mrs. Garner. God bless you for being here. It's our delight and treat today, church, to have as our special guest Dr. Randy Taylor. Dr. Taylor leads the God Save America revivals that have been in existence for a great number of years. He'll share probably a little bit of that with you. He also heads up the Mount Salem Revival Grounds up in West Virginia. Got any West Virginia hillbillies here? I got one or two. That's right. But y'all can fellowship after church in the foyer. There's not a whole lot of folks from West Virginia down here in Texas, but We're excited to have him as our guest speaker this morning. And he's only in this area, around in our area, the Dallas-Fort Worth area, many times around Christmas time. He has family in this area. And look forward to hearing what God has for us this morning as he speaks through the man of God. And so I'm going to ask Dr. Taylor to come, bring the message that God has laid upon his heart, and then he might share a few things about the ministry with you. And do let me ask that when you, at the conclusion of the service, stop by the display table. He's got incredible amount of good Christian helps out there for you. Plus, he's got a lot of things to make good Christmas presents this time of year. Be an opportunity to stop by and be a blessing there. So on behalf of Trinity Baptist Church, Dr. Taylor, God bless you.
Welcome to Trinity Baptist. We appreciate it. Amen. Well, thank you for letting me come. Dr. Lasseter, I appreciate this, and what a great place. My wife and I arrived on Texas soil. I thought of that verse, Moses, take off your shoes, you're on holy ground. Amen. Praise the Lord. When I was a young man, the Lord called me away back into West Virginia, back in the hills. And so I tell everybody I went from being a hick to a hillbilly. Amen. So I don't know what's worse, but I've enjoyed what the Lord has done in my life. And I have my wife with me today. So glad she's with me. And I call her my balanced wheel. Amen. Back in the day when watches were real watches, they had that balance wheel in it, you know. And that's how you kept time. And that's how you made the day and kept perfect time. She's my perfect time. Amen. And I thank the Lord for her. Appreciate her. Although I do have to watch my manners when she's with me. Amen. So anyway, good to see my dear friend and one of my heroes, Dr. Bob Smith. Ms. Smith, good to see you. Appreciate you all these years. He's been such an encouragement to me. I want to brag on him just a little bit. My son, my oldest son, he just resigned our church there at Mount Salem Baptist Church. And he was just preaching in your Bible college here last week or so. And anyway, so now he's moved here to Texas. And so he moved back to Moab. I mean, he came to live here. And but anyway, I thank the Lord for him and what God's doing in his life and how God is using him. He's like his daddy. He's got gypsy blood. He wants to be back into evangelism. And then my youngest son, unbeknownst to he or our family, the men of our church asked him to be the candidate nominee of our church. And they just called him last Sunday to be the pastor of our church. And so I can truthfully say I've spanked the last two pastors of our church. And getting back to Dr. Smith, when he stood up to tell the church thanks and accept the pulpit, he read a letter by Dr. Smith that he had handwritten my son in a National Gospel of America Revival Conference in Tennessee. And you made a statement in there that life comes in small portions sometimes and need to be patient, what the Lord wants for you. And somebody asked him, if you don't get the pulpit of the church, would you aggressively, they use the word aggressively, seek another pastorate somewhere? And he told the person in the question answer, he said, well, I guess I'll just go right back to what I was doing, running the bus routes, teaching the Sunday school class, being the youth director of our church, and helping with the junior church. And he said, because I love my church. And I think you ought to love your church. Amen. Praise the Lord. And God is good. So he has no aspirations to be a gypsy like his father. But anyway, we're glad for him and excited for him. I love my family. Here to see mom and dad. It's always good to be around family. Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Jackson, good to see you too. Another one of my heroes. Thank you so very much. I would be just a young preacher lad here in Texas, and I'd be preaching somewhere, and I'd look out in the crowd, and there was Brother Miss Jackson encouraging me, coming to the meeting. They'd slip in and slip out and go back to Decatur where they were from. And I just appreciate him so very, very much. And if you're a young preacher today, you get a hold of a great man of God and you just hold on to him. Amen. And just learn something from those great, gracious men of God. Thank God for them. I sure do appreciate it. And I've been eating pretty good while I've been here. I hadn't only been here just for a day and a half, but I've been eating well. Praise the Lord. I've already had fried chicken. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Get to check my calling out, Brother Lasseter. Amen. And one guy was talking about nutrition. I said, yeah. I said, they say that these nutritionists say you got to have more bright colors when you eat reds and yellows and greens. So I bought me a bag of M&Ms. Amen. Good nutrition colors, amen, that's right. Heard about that little boy sitting in class, and the teacher asked the class, the student said, what's your favorite animal? The little boy raised his hand, he said, fried chicken. So they sent him down to the principal's office, and the principal just chuckled like we did and said, get back to class. Don't disrupt the class. The teacher can't stand you doing that. So next day he came back. Well, first of all, he went home and he said, Mom, Dad, you always tell me to tell the truth. And every time I tell the truth, I always get in trouble. He said, well, she's probably a member of PETA. But anyway, so he went back to class, and so she kind of threw a curveball to the student body and said, okay, what is your favorite live animal? And he said, chicken. She said, why? He said, because you can fry it. Back to the principal's office he went. And the principal chuckled and said, get back to class. You'll be expelled if you mess up again. Well, got back in class the next day, and the teacher threw another curveball and said, okay, what's the person you admire the most? All the people in the world, who's the one you admire the most? Little boy raised his hand again. He said, Colonel Sanders. Back to the principal's office he went. Brother Reed, he called his mama. Where's Brother Reed? You snuck away from him. Where are you? There he is. Okay. And called his mama and dad and said, Mom, y'all got to come get me. They've expelled me for disrupting the class. But while you're at it, would you bring a bucket of chicken? Amen. So, praise the Lord. On the back table, this is called My iBible. Alexander Scorby is the reader. It's called The Voice of the Bible. The neatest thing about this thing, it's smaller than a credit card, but the neatest thing about it, you can mark your spot. No other one will do that. That's a great tool. And I've given those to a lot of my family members for Christmas presents, and my mom and dad love it. You can get these small external speakers and listen to them out loud, all kinds of things. Put them in different places on your computer. You can do all kinds of things. It is an MP3, so that'll be a blessing to you. Then also, End Time Bible Prophecy. Boy, it looks like Jesus could come just any time. And this is all six sermons on the book of Revelation. Maybe you've never understood some of the things that John the Revelator said, but there are a lot of things in there. Maybe you don't know why you're a premillennialist, but you need to know. Maybe you don't know why every good Baptist is a premillennialist. Amen. Yeah, I don't even eat post-toasties anymore. I'm not a post-millennialist. Amen. That's right. But anyway, maybe you don't know why that we are not going to step foot inside the tribulation. I'm not a mid-tribulation heresy person. Maybe you need to understand that. Maybe you need to know that there are more than just one Gog and Magog in the Bible. There are at least three Gog and Magogs in the Bible. All of that you'll find in that series on End Time Bible Prophecy. And maybe you can enjoy that or give it to some loved one that needs to be fired up for the Lord. All right, would you stand with me, please? Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 9. It is a pleasure to be here. A great honor for me to be in this great church, great Baptist church. And I thank God for the stand you take. I thank God for the testimony you are. I thank God that this is a place that is legendary to fundamentalism. And I thank God so much that I'm able to be here. And again, to have my wife with me today, thank the Lord for that. Thank you for your courtesies and your kindness. We do have a book table out in the foyer. If you would be so kind to patronize it, look it over. 2 Samuel 9, very familiar passage to those who know Bible stories. I'm a Bible storyaholic. I just love Bible stories. I want you to see what they say here in this chapter, what the Bible says, 2 Samuel 9. Look at verse 1. And David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him what? Kindness. For whose sake? Jonathan's. This is repeated again. Look at verse number 3. The king said, is there not yet any in the house of Saul that I may show him, or show the what? Kindness of God unto him. And we find out he was living in Lodibar. In verse number 4, he tells his servant Ziba to ask if there anybody left in the former king's household and in Saul's house. And he said, yeah, there's somebody. His name is Mephibosheth. He lives down in Lodibar. Lodibar, in verse number 5, you can write beside that, it means the land of no bread, the land of no pasture, no hope. Down in verse number 6, the Bible said, now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come. Circle that word come. If you're going to know the Lord Jesus, you're going to have to come to the Lord Jesus. And look what it said. All through the Bible, it talks about coming. Well, he came, and David said there in verse number 6, David said, Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth. And he answered, behold thy servant. And then from then on, he said in verse number 7 again, for Jonathan thy father's sake, that's why you're here. In the last part of the verse, he said, you'll eat bread at my table continually. He told him there in verse number 8, he said, why would you want to have somebody like me, a dead dog as I am? In verse number 9, he said, well, I'll give you all that the master's son would want, even of your grandfather Saul there, all that pertaineth to Saul and to all his house. Down in verse number 10, the Bible said, but Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table. Verse number 11 of the last part of the verse, he shall eat, the Bible said, as one of the king's sons. Isn't it great to be the king's son? Amen. And then in verse number 13, he culminates it by saying he did eat continually at the king's table. But notice the last phrase, he was lame on both his feet. You know, every one of us have problems being like the lame man in this story, the lame boy in this story. We're all at one time, spiritually, are lame in our life, and we need someone to help us. And I'm glad about this story. I want to preach this morning on the subject, living in Lodibar. Living in Lodibar. Maybe you're here today and you're in search of something better than the way you're living. Maybe you're here this morning and you need someone in your life that can help you when you can't help yourself. I know the answer and I know His name. His name is Jesus. Amen. I love what the choir's saying about. Amen. I've just begun to live. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. When you find Jesus, everything changes. Everything changes. I'm not saying your life will be better in the sense of some things, but I'm saying it'll be better in the matter of your eternity. Amen. And God will help you through your prayer life and answer your prayers. It's a wonderful thing to be saved. Let's bow our heads and ask God to help us today. Father, bless today. If there be any lost, don't let them leave that way, dear God, today. I pray that they'd hear the message. And Lord, I pray that their hearts would be open. I pray You'd illumine my heart and mind today, dear God, and help me to preach, Lord, Your message. And Lord, dear God, thank You for this wonderful assembly. And I thank You, Lord, for Dr. Lassiter allowing me to be in his pulpit that he graces Sunday after Sunday. And may I be a blessing, Lord, to his church today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Lodibar. Living in Lodibar. A place the Bible describes without pasture, no bread, and a place of hunger and poverty and death and dying. Here we have the description of a son of a prince, a son of a king. He was the son of a prince, and having the right of his father, even the children of, as we read the Bible, the children of good and great men, sometimes they're not always safe. And this was a young man because that his father and grandfather died on the same day in the same battle. It was a useless battle. Saul got in a battle he shouldn't have been a part of. And most of our problems are things we get involved in we shouldn't be involved in. And that's what happened. Death came to his daddy. And death came to his granddaddy. And they died the same day. Now he's without any of that. And now he's the prince of the throne. He's heir to the throne. And the Bible said that while he was fleeing with the rest of Israel, the Bible said he failed. He failed and became lame in both his legs. And there was a nurse that was standing by wanting to help, and she took him. And the Bible said that he became safe in another place. And the Bible said that he was taken care of by her, in another place called Lodibar. Lodibar. But he was unknown and unseen by anybody. He was in peril and danger because anyone who was an heir to a throne could have been put to death. That was the practice of the day, especially if another person, another country would come and take the throne as was being sought out by the Philistines. And so the Bible said that David now became king. He stood in the gap and he made things right for Israel. And he's now the king, and he's proclaimed king. And then he had a former servant of Saul. His name was Ziba. And he asked Ziba, he said, hey, do you know of anybody else in your former king's kingdom, in his family? Do you know anybody else that I could show kindness to? Any of his family? Anybody? Is there anybody you know that I could show kindness for Jonathan's sake? For Jonathan's sake. So he said, yeah, I do. I know somebody, but he's a cripple boy. You may not know him. You may not want him. And he's crippled over in Lodibar. And he said, well, I want you to go get him. He used a good southern word. He said, I want you to go fetch him. Amen. That means to pick him up and carry him. And he said, I want you to bring him back to the king's palace. I want to talk to him. And as soon as he saw him, you saw the words a while ago, David looked at Mephibosheth and said, Mephibosheth, as if to say, is it really you? Am I looking at one of my tremendous friends' family? You see, David and Jonathan were dear friends. I personally think that Jonathan was a better man than his dad, the king Saul. I personally think he was a greater man of God. I personally think that he was a greater person than his dad was. But here's his son, Jonathan's son. And he looks at him and he said, I want you to know that I'm going to show kindness for your daddy's sake. I'm going to show kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake. And I want you to come and be my adopted son. I want you to come and live in the palace. I want you to come and live with the king for the rest of your days. All your needs will be met. As a matter of fact, all the inheritance of your grandfather will be yours. All the inheritance of your father will be yours. And I want you to sit at the king's table. And I like what Jonathan said with all of humility. He said, why would you want to look at me such as a dead dog as I am? Why would you care about me? I'm not good to your armies or your military. I'm not good to any servanthood of the palace. I'm not good to the king in any way. Why would you want somebody like me? I'm lame in both my legs. A dead dog. And he looked at him and he said, you're my son now. Amen. You belong to me now. And because of your father's sake, I want you to be a part of my family. Oh, thank God. Amen. Thank the Lord that God cares for us the same way. Amen. Well, something happened in the life. That he was 5 years old when he became lame. Now he's 13 years of age when he's brought to the palace. Don't miss this. Something terrible happened. There was an uproar. There was a revolt of one of David's sons, Absalom. Absalom went against his father. David was forced to flee now, this same palace where this boy is living. He flees this place of Jerusalem and he leaves to go to another place. And while he's leaving the city, David was met by Ziba. Remember that former servant of a king. And he said, hey, he said, where's Mephibosheth? Ziba lied to the king. Ziba lied to him and said, hey, he's on the side of Absalom. He's been someone who's gone against you and he stayed behind and he's on Absalom's side. David thought he was deserted by him after all they'd done for him. David thought, all the things I've done and now he's deserted me. Well, between that time and the time we're about to approach in Mephibosheth's life, David had gone through some great trials in his life and some great sin in his life. Between the time of where we'll see in chapter 19 in a minute, the Bible said that David had just gone through the great sin of adultery with Bathsheba. David had killed Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, and the Bible said that Nathan pointed out to him that thou art the man. And between all this time, Absalom's brother Amnon, the Bible said, had raped his sister Tamar. And his half-sister, and Amnon was the older brother, and Absalom had killed him. Are you listening to me? And David now had lost his own son to that sin. The Bible called him a ewe lamb, didn't give him a name, just called him a ewe lamb. He'd lost that son, now he'd lost his older brother, and then Absalom died. Think what David's heart must be like. And the Bible said even Ahithophel, the king's counselor, he was the one that turned against him. He was the one that wanted to kill Absalom for him, And David didn't want to have him to do it. And so because he turned against David, David's own counselor, it was David said of Ahithophel, thou speak like the oracles of God. It'd be like you coming and say, well, we really heard from God today when the preacher spoke. And he said, thou speak like the oracles of God. And so he turned, Ahithophel turned on David and he wanted to kill David. He went to Absalom. He asked if he could kill David. Now there's a reason why. The Bible didn't give it. But every time it mentions the name of Ahithophel in the Old Testament in two chapters of the Bible, 1 Samuel and also 2 Chronicles, in both of those areas, every time Ahithophel's name is mentioned, his lineage is mentioned. And it mentions that he's the grandfather of Bathsheba. I don't know why, my friend, that he took his own life, but I do know, my friend, that anyone who would violate my granddaughter would face my wrath. Amen. In my anger. And you're capable of doing anything when you get away from the Lord. And Ahithophel, because I believe he couldn't kill the king, killed his own self. One of the first mentions of suicide, if not the very first, in the entire Bible. And now, my friend, that 17 years later, listen to this, on the way back, after the skirmish was over, on the way back, David meets Mephibosheth. Out from Jerusalem, away from Jerusalem, away from the palace that had been under this skirmish of David's oldest son. And as a matter of fact, David was so heartbroken about a lot of things, his family as well. He said, "Would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son Absalom." And he looks at Mephibosheth now, that adopted son, who he thought was a betrayer. And he said, "Where have you been, Mephibosheth? Why have you left me? Why didn't you come with me?" And Mephibosheth said, "Well, Ziba told me that you didn't want me. Ziba told me that I didn't need to go." We find out, my friend, that it was like he was living back in Lodibar again, unshaved and unwashed and unclean and soiled and just so far away from what was this help and what was promised him. And he said, "David, I've been maligned by your servant. I've been lied to by your servant. I have been told and slandered, and my testimony has been torn apart, and I've been deceived by your servant." He said, "Who?" He said, "Ziba." And because of that, he was brought back into the household and given more than he was even promised, and he was put over Ziba's inheritance and his family. What a wonderful story. A terrible life for a young man to live. Now that was 17 years later. He's now 30 in the story. He was found at 5, brought into the palace at 17, at 13, and then brought back 17 years later. Now the age of 30. Think of all those years the fellowship was gone. All of those years the promises was gone. All of those years. And he looked at him the first time. He said, "How could you love such a dead dog as I am?" And the second time he looks at him, he said, "Hey, I'll do anything just to have your blessing again. I'll give my inheritance back if you'll just put your blessing back on me again. I never wanted to be lied about. I never wanted to be talked about like I was. I never wanted to go back to the life that I left." You know, some people are so sorry, so low down and too evil-minded and so trash-mouthed that they don't know how to be good to anybody. And they never remember what they were brought from. Amen. I'm so glad God saved me out of a life of sin. Amen. I'm so glad God saved me from hell. Let me ask you a question this morning. Who pulled you out of a dead life? Let me ask you a question this morning. Who picked you up when you were down? Who put you on the end of the palace? Who pleaded with you when you deserved to die? Who pardoned you from poverty? Who pacified your pain? Who offered you peace from the effects of war? Who changed your purpose when there was nothing to live for? It was the Lord God that did that if you're saved this morning. No matter how the storms may rage upon the sea of life, no matter how the waves may beat, no matter what the strife, the Lord is just the same today as when He walked the sea. He can conquer every storm that life may send to thee. The waves are raging everywhere and men are sore distressed. But all they need is found in Him who giveth perfect rest. So cast your care upon the Lord whose strength will never fail. He calms the waves of your frail embark. His power will e'er prevail. You see, he was unfit for the court and the kingdom and the camps of battle. And he was seen as a cripple by everybody. Hey, but you know what? At the king's table, they didn't see those crippled legs. Amen. At the king's table, he wasn't a cripple. He was a son. And he wasn't living in Lodibar anymore. He was taken care of and the table was prepared for him. And the invitation was given by a king. First of all, may I say this morning, if you're living in Lodibar means you're forgotten. Aren't you glad there's a church and a pastor that loves you today? Aren't you glad there's a Bible and a God in heaven that loves you today? Aren't you glad, my friend, that God found you where you were? Aren't you glad, my friend, you don't have to live out in the dregs of sin as a dead man out of mind and out of sight? Living in Lodibar means that you're running from trouble. Living in Lodibar means that you're living lonely, no family and no friends. Living in Lodibar means you're suffering from the fall. Living in Lodibar means you're hungry and you're hurting in a desolate place. He could remember little of the honor that was given to him at 5 years old. He was too small. He was only 5 years old when he was brought into the palace, but he knows well now, after 17 years of being without the king's love, nobody cared for him like the king cared for him. Nobody loved him like the king loved him. Thank God for this nurse who took him to safety. I say hallelujah for the helpers, amen. I say hallelujah for the people who are no names in the Bible, who are soul winners, amen. Nobody ever recognizes some of these bus workers and teachers and soul winners and helpful hands. Hallelujah for the helpers who bring people to Christ. Thank God for those who love the unlovely, amen. She took him to Lodibar, or from to Lodibar, where he was away from fear and trouble. He lived in obscurity, remote and concealed. Probably among his mother's relationships in Lodibar, and the Bible said near Gilead, of the other side of Jordan, and he was unfit for service of any kind. He was deserted. All hopes of his life was gone. Everything had failed. At only 5 years old. 5 years old. I've known people like that. My heart goes out to them. I've known people that lived lives that are hurting, and my heart goes out to them. The songwriter put it best when he put it this way: does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth and song? As the burdens press and the cares of distress, the ways grow weary and long. Does Jesus care when my way is dark with the nameless dread and fear? As the daylight fades into the deep night shade, does He care enough for me? Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me, and my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks? Is it aught to Him? Does He care? Oh, yes, He cares. I know He cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary and the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. First of all, living in Lodibar means you're forgotten. Number two, living in Lodibar means that He was forsaken. He was forsaken. Do you see that in the story? He was forsaken at the mercy of his enemies after the Philistines' victory and the death of his dad and his granddad. His nurse knew that the enemy could take him and away and this party of Saul and cut them all off and even put them to death if they wanted to. They would especially aim at this young master who would now be next to the crown. His life was in so much jeopardy. And she ran for his safety to a secret place where no one could find him. But then the Bible said he fell and now he's lame. Let me ask you a question this morning. You still with me? Say amen. Let me ask you a question. Where is God when the one you love is dead? Where is God when there's nothing but troubled times? Where is God when the world is coming apart? Where is God when your heart is aching? According to my Bible, He's still King. According to my Bible, He still reigns. According to my Bible, He has the power to rescue the perishing. According to my Bible, He can replace brokenness with happiness. Oh, listen. You may be forgotten. You may be forsaken by some. But He knows. He knows. Third and last, if you're listening, listen carefully. Living in Lodibar means one other thing, and that means He was feeble, forsaken, and forgotten, and feeble. Oh, but a better day was coming. A better day was coming. He was about to have a new family. He was about to have new friends. He was about to have a new future. Because he had a new father, amen. A new father. He was drifting away like a ship without a sail. Like the songwriter wrote as he titled, "He lifted me. From seeking sand He lifted me. With tender hand He lifted me. From shades of night to plains of light. Oh, praise His name, He lifted me." He was a cripple, but now adopted son of a king. You know, the Bible said we're all crippled before God. Listen to this verse. Psalm 73:2, the Bible said, "My feet were almost gone. My steps were well nigh slipped." Romans 3, 15 through 16, the Bible said, "Their feet were swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery were in their ways." The Bible said, "We're nothing without God." In John 15 and 5, the Bible said, "For without me ye can do nothing." The Bible said we owe everything to God. In Philippians 1 and verse number 6, the Bible said He has made us accepted in the beloved. In Hebrews 10 and 17, the Bible said that we're also forgiven. The Bible said their sins and iniquity will I remember no more. Amen. You see, when they got together, I'm talking about David, the new king, and Mephibosheth, this new son. When they got together, it wasn't about Mephibosheth that they talked about. When they got together, it wasn't about his problems and his frailties. Can I tell you something this morning, my friend? Jesus didn't come to die for your disabilities. Don't hate me for that statement. Just hear me out for a minute. Jesus didn't come for what ails you. Jesus didn't come to earth, as we'll celebrate here in just a few days, and what we sing about today. Jesus didn't come to die for what hurts inside of you. He came for one reason. He came to die for your soul. That's what He came to die for. And when they got together, it wasn't about, listen to this, it wasn't about His frailties and His problems. When they came together as new father and adopted son, as king and once heir to a throne, they talked about the Father's sake. They talked about the Father. 2 Samuel 9:1, for Jonathan's sake. 2 Samuel 9:7, Jonathan, thy father's sake. The main subject was about the Father's sake. The Father's sake. You see, my friend, he was reminded he was brought from deformity to dignity because he was loved as the unlovely. He was brought from poverty to pardon. He was brought from being afar off in Lodibar, a place of hunger and no pasture, to the banqueting tables of Mount Zion, Jerusalem. He was brought from being a cripple and a dog to a son and inheritance. He was brought from being lame and groping and grieving to being lifted by His grace, His kindness and His mercy. He was brought from being a paralytic to a position and a possession. A son and an inheritance of a king. Amen. Son and an inheritance of a king. If you've knelt beside the rubble of an aching, breaking heart, when the things you gave your life to fell apart, you're not the first to be acquainted with sorrow and grief nor pain. The Master promised sunshine after rain. To invest your seed, to trust in God in mountains you can't move. You've risked your life on things you cannot prove. But to give the things you cannot keep to the things you cannot lose is the way to find God's joy that He has for you. Hold on, my child. Joy comes in the morning. Weeping only lasts for a night. Hold on, my child. Joy comes in the morning. The darkest hour means dawn is just in sight. May I say to you, my friend, that nobody loves you like the King loves you today. If you're longing and looking, if you're hurting and hungry, if you're distant and drifting, if you're away from God, if you're someone this morning that you don't know how to say, I need help, or maybe you're here this morning and you don't know how to know what to do. Maybe your prayer life is just groping and groaning. I've got the answer for you today. His name is Jesus. I don't want to live without His blessing. Do you? I don't want to live without knowing someday I'm His and He is mine. Oh, listen to me, my friend. To suffer like Lodibar, unshaved and unclean, like he was, trying to die without David, and lied about and deceived and slandered and uncared for and unable to help himself. Old Ziba, you know what my nickname is for him? My wife laughs about it. She brings it up every once in a while. She remembers a few parts of my sermons, but she remembers this about this sermon. I call him Big Nose Ziba. Amen. He was always sticking his nose in places he shouldn't have stuck it. Amen. Always trying to figure something out for somebody who he had no business figuring out for. Amen. And old Ziba stuck his nose in the wrong place. And where once now, this once heir to a throne had been hidden out in Lodibar, now he's hiding his behavior. He's lying, and he's lying about his sin. You know, I found out if you're hiding your behavior, it'll make you ashamed of the ones that love you the most. If you're hiding your behavior, it'll cause you to lie and live a lie, excuses and deceit. If you're hiding your behavior, it'll cause you to have or to be misleading, full of evil and full of hate. There's a great verse in the Bible that I think that sums this story up. Psalm 66 and 12, and I'm almost done. Listen to this. The Bible said, "Thou hast caused men to ride over our heart, our heads." We went from through fire, just like the song a while ago, and through water, but Thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. A wealthy place. Now get the picture. 5 years old, he goes into obscurity. 13 years of age, the king finds him because of kindness, because of friendship. You don't think friendship matters? Hey, check out the life of Jonathan and David. Oh, listen, they had made a covenant with each other. You know what that covenant was? If one of my sons die, or if I should die before you do, he said, I want you to take care of my children. That was the covenant that they made with each other. And David kept his end of the bargain. Jonathan died, and now he wanted to take care of any of his family that was left. The others had been put away, and they had been killed on Gilboa on 7 crosses. But he had an exception because of the way he was crippled. And he wasn't put to death. Now his life was spared. What a story of grace. Amen. What a story of grace. Living in Lodibar was caused, listen to this, by someone else. Someone else. Age of 5 when Saul died and his daddy Jonathan died. Age of 13 when Ziba lied about him and went back into obscurity like he was in Lodibar again. But at the age of 30, 17 years later. By the way, during those 7 years, the Bible said he never became unfaithful to David. In those 17 years, he never was disloyal. The Bible said he fasted and prayed for David. Oh, listen to me, my friend. And every time at 5 and at 13 and 17 years later at 30, David always corrected the problem in his life. Always. Always. I'm just trying to say to you this morning, if you're away from God and you're saved, get back close to the Lord. He loves you better than you love yourself. Amen. He can take care of you better than you can take care of yourself. And if you're here today and you have no wonderful Savior like Jesus Christ, if you have no salvation in the Lord Jesus, why don't you come to the Lord? He's already prepared the table. He's giving a king's invitation. He's saying, hey, I want you to be saved. You don't have to die lost. You don't have to live lost. You don't have to leave lost. You can trust Him today. Just like the pastor said, he'll celebrate tonight the place from where we stepped out to get saved. Right here in this auditorium, you can do the same today. You can have a historical spiritual place today and come from where you are, just as you are. Amen. You say, well, the Lord wouldn't have me. Well, He will. According to the King's promise, He'll have you. Amen. You say, well, I'm a sinner. That's just the way the Lord wants us. You're a prime candidate if you realize you're a sinner. Amen. Nobody ever got saved without realizing he's a sinner first. Nobody ever got saved without realizing he's lost. Amen. Please, today, don't leave without knowing you've been invited. Don't leave without knowing in your heart of hearts that He loves you enough to take you from obscurity and take you to the King's table. And you'll be taken of continually, forever and forever and forever. Shall we stand, please? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. And don't let your mind wander just because we're moving around here a little bit. If you're listening to me, shake your head yes. Give me your attention. Work hard to give me your attention. How many this morning would say, thank God I'm saved. I've been adopted by a king. I've been saved. I was lost and I couldn't help myself. And one day I could take you right to the spot where He found me and He fetched me and He saved me. And you say, thank God I'm saved today. Saved and I know it. Lift that hand way up high. Saved and I know it. Happy about it? Wave it to the Lord today. He likes a hand waving every once in a while. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You can put your hands down. I'll quit preaching if God won't save you, no matter what you've done. But my Bible promises today that He'll save you. It makes no matter who you are, what your name is. It makes no matter how you've fallen and how things have happened in your life and the obscurity of your life. If you're here today and you need Christ, all you have to do is come. You remember I had you look at that one word, come, a while ago. Come. You don't have to do a thing to go to hell. Did you hear me? You don't have to do a thing to go to hell, but the Bible said you must. Listen, You must be born again. How many this morning would say, I could not raise my hand a moment ago, but today I realize I need a Savior. Today I realize without Jesus, I have no hope, no future. And you'd say, pray for me. I'm lost and I'm a sinner. And I know it. And I need Christ. Would you pray for me that I would not leave without Jesus in my heart? I need to be saved and know I'm going to heaven. Have no doubt about it. And I want to be saved. Pray for me. I'm lost and need Christ. Would you hold your hand up right now? Would you just lift it up right now? Anywhere. Anywhere in the room today, would you lift your hand? I need a Savior. I need to be born again. I'm not saved. Would you pray for me? Lift your hand and I will. Lift your hand and I will. Anywhere. All right, Christian, are you listening this morning? Shake your head, yes. How many would say this morning, Brother Taylor's a Christian? There are things in my life I need God's help. And sometimes I feel like that I've been left alone. And sometimes I feel like that my troubles are overwhelming. But I know God still loves me. And I remember the day He saved me. And I want you to pray for me today. I've got things in my life that are too hard to bear. I need the Lord's help. Nobody loves me like the King does. And today, by the uplifted hand, you'd say, pray for me. I need the Lord's help in the worst way. I need His help today. Hold your hand way up high. Yes, and God bless you, and God bless you, and God bless you. Put your hands down. Thank you. I wonder how many would say, I've been away from the Lord. And I need to get back close to the Lord. I've been away from the Lord. I need to get back close to Him. Would you lift your hand right now? Would you do that? Yes, and God bless you and you. Thank you. And God bless you and God bless you and God bless you. Amen. And God bless you. Yes, I see your hand. I've been away from the Lord and I need God's help. Yes, I see you in the back. Anywhere else? Would you pray for me? Would you pray for me? All right, our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. How many would say, I've been saved, but I've never followed the Lord in beautiful believer's baptism. Saved but never baptized, and I need to do it first chance I get. Would you pray for me that I'll get this first step of obedience and behind me in my life? I need that in my life. Saved but never baptized. Would you lift your hand? There's one hand. Anybody else? There's two hands. Anybody else? Anybody else? I'm saved, but I haven't been yet baptized like Jesus was. Jesus walked 70 miles to be baptized. Thank you, sir. But surely you can walk and be approved and be baptized first chance you get. Anybody else beside these three? Saved but never... Thank you. God bless you. Anybody else? I've never been immersed in deep water like Jesus was. I've never been baptized like Jesus was. Hold your hand up right now. Anybody else? All right. God bless you, son. Anybody else? Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. One more thing. Maybe you're not a member of Trinity Baptist Church, but God is... convicted you about membership here for you, your life, family. You'd say, Brother Taylor, I appreciate all the ministries of this church. I appreciate all they do, all the effort they put into helping people and families. Would you pray for me and my membership? I'm not a member of Trinity Baptist, but I've been praying about it. God's convicted me about membership at Trinity Baptist Church. Would you hold your hand up right now? Would you hold your hand up right now? Anywhere. Anywhere. Right now. Would you do that? Anywhere. Father, bless today. Use, I pray, the invitation to be a help to these people, dear God. Do what we cannot do, Father, spiritually, Lord, here at this altar. I pray, Lord, You'd change lives today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now look at me just for a minute. We're going to sing a song of invitation. What will it be?
162, Lord, I'm coming home.
Lord, I'm coming home. If you raise your hand in your minute, I want you to slip out from where you are. Don't be embarrassed about it. The Lord loves you. He wants to see you. Amen. He wants to hear from you. He wants you to be a part of what His love is all about. You raise your hand a minute, you come down here. Find one of these men if you need help and get you some help at the altar. Need to be baptized? Come let somebody show you some verses you can take care of here in your life. As we play and sing for the last dinner, you come.
We're going to sing through these songs, through this verse. This is your opportunity. You slipped your hand up. Would you come? If you're a lady, we'll have a lady take your side and show you out of the Bible how to be saved. If you're a man, we'll take the Bible and show you out of, and we'll take have a man show you out of the Bible how to be born into the family of God. Don't waste this opportunity. This is opportunity that God's opened the door for you. If you slipped your hand up and said, I need to be baptized, this is your opportunity to come. We'll explain to you out of the Bible why a person needs to be baptized and why they should be baptized after they're saved. Come on. We'll wait on you. We'll wait on you. This is your opportunity. God bless you. God bless you. You come right ahead. Come right ahead.
Open wide thine arms of love.
We'll have someone speak with you. Brother Muse, would you wait? Brother Muse, would you help these ladies right here, please? Come right ahead. You slipped your hand up. Come on. Come on. Come on. That's what we're here for. We're here for you. All the message has gone forth. Are you there? Do you have a need? Well, Mephibosheth had a need, but he didn't know there was a king that was willing to show kindness and care for his soul. That's what God wants to do for you this morning. He knows your need. You come ahead. We'll wait on you. We'll wait on you. Come on. Come on.
Coming home. Coming home. Never more to roam.
Many have come. Would you come and join them? Would you come and join them?
Thine arms of love. Lord, I'm coming.
Sing it through again, Brother Shaddix. We want to give everybody the opportunity they need to respond to God's invitation.
And straying, Lord, now I'm coming home. I'll trust thy love, believe thy word. Lord, I'm coming home.
We're almost done. Almost done. This is your opportunity. One more time. We had one come on that verse. Sing it through one more time, Brother Shaddix. As nobody comes, we're going to shut the invitation down. This is your last opportunity. Would you come? Oh, God wants you to be saved.
Now I'm coming home. My strength renew, my hope restore. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home. Coming home. Evermore to roam. Open wide thine arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home.
I'm going to ask the instruments to continue to play. You can be seated quietly while we still have some praying. Let's be reverent of these that are at the altar. Be patient with them as we deal with them concerning their needs in life. We've already had several that have come to be saved. Several have come to be baptized. Let's be patient with these that are making these decisions this morning. Well, I hope you listened this morning. Great analogy the preacher made between the King David and here's a young man, Mephibosheth, lame in his